Production. Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 61 of the Geocaching Podcast. Tonight we're going to be talking about caching on a budget. You may not recognize it because we didn't have our intro music tonight, and that's because Daryl W4 is not on the phone with us. Tonight I have got Montu as my co-host, and so we have to do without the music. I want to welcome everybody and remind you guys that we are live 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. If you want to join us tonight, if you want to have any ideas about the caching on a budget. So with that, you can go to our chat room if you don't want to call in, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. All you have to do is click the join now to participate button, and our show notes can also be found at the geocachingpodcast.info. So Montu, welcome back to the show. It seems like it's been a while. It always seems like it's been a while since we do this. So anyways, what's been going on with you, man?
Not much. Past 2 weekends, we've been spending up working on the railroad. This last Saturday, we went back after that cache at Sims Park, only to find the cache was nowhere to be seen. Went and looked at the logs, and sure enough, it's been muggled, and the owner's figuring it's been picked up by the park maintenance personnel.
So apparently they didn't get permission from the parks.
Either that or word didn't filter down to all the cleaning, you know, the maintenance crew, the bush trimmers and whatever. Because it was in a nicely trimmed bush. It was tucked in there, so it wasn't disturbing the bush or anything. So, you know, it might just have been this one maintenance worker didn't know what was going on, saw it, thought it was trash, and picked it up and took it away. Had actually almost the same thing happen out at Starkey Park with my Excalibur cache, but at least there I've got the park very well informed. One of the rangers contacted me to let me know they had found one of the stages in one of the cabins that are out there. So now I've got to make a run out there this next weekend, pick the stage up, and get it back out where it belongs.
Well, tonight, I'm going to pre-apologize if you hear anyone else on the phone with me tonight, too. Micah Boy's in the studio with me. Julie had to go to work tonight. So I've got Eli asleep, and I think he's asleep anyways. I think I might have just heard him cry. But anyways, Micah's here in the room with us, Micah Boy. But actually, my news has to do with Micah. We went out for a first to find on Sunday, and it was actually kind of cool because we got to the cache site, and it was a multi-stage thing. We went to all the stages, got to the final, and it's right out by the road. And I'm not exactly going to tell you where the cache container was, but I brushed my hand on it, and it was, but I didn't think it was the cache container. And next thing I know, I turn around to see how Eli's doing in the car, and Micah says, "Found it." And I turned around, and he did. He actually had the cache. He found it, so that was really cool. He was the first to find on the cache. So my 2-year-old son has a first to find now that he actually found first. He beat me to it. He actually so it was. It was kind of cool with that. I mean, I was so proud of him. And so, anyways. But then, last night, we were eating dinner, and another cache was published. And so, we ran out and got it after dinner. And Julie had the first to find. And it was, that was her first to find, too. So, we have one more this week. I got to find her first to find this week, and so does Eli, in order to make our whole family is actually, you know, found in all caches this week, first to finds. But I really doubt that's going to happen. But anyways, yeah, it was fun. And that cache that Julie found as the FTF was one, I think, like that you were talking about, Montu, or it may have been Ice and Rye that was talking about the container actually having a bunch of film cans in it. And you had to try and find the log. It was that same type of thing.
Yeah, he was the one that first brought it up, which inspired one of my caches to be that way. The Incredible Hulk's Microhaven here in Starkey Park is ours that's similar to that. It's a very large Rubbermaid container, and inside it is about 250, at last count, 35-millimeter film cans, and in one of those is the logbook.
Ours wasn't quite that bad. They probably had 20 or so, So it wasn't too bad. She said that she found a third container she grabbed. But the thing that stinks is she went in. I stayed in the car with Eli because Eli had fallen asleep. And when she went out with Micah, she comes back and I said, "Did you find it?" And she says, "My E-Trax Legend died." And it wasn't just the kind of dying like the battery died. Like, it was the Legend died. It had, like, a striped line down the side, and I don't know if it was the batteries were bad. I put new batteries in, but it might have been they were older batteries, so it could have had something to do with that, because I put new batteries in today, and it seemed to work a little bit better. So I'm really hoping her Legend didn't die, so she had to come back and take my 76 CSX. So, but she did find it, and congratulations to her and Micah for their FTFs this week. So,
definitely.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And we also had told us, Geekboy has said that they had a bunch of new caches published from their house last night, and ClickChick and himself met another cacher and shared the FTF on all six caches last night, so that's pretty cool.
Way to go, Geekboy and ClickChick.
All right, well, tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about caching on a budget, and these days with gas being so high, and it's raising the cost of caching, too. So we've come up with a few ideas to help save gas and save the budget. So with that, let's go ahead and start. I'll go ahead and start off our list here. One of the first things that I had thought about is the Gas Saver series. And if you don't know what those are, it's usually a place where you can go and there's a trail. And what they'll do is they'll place caches, a series of caches that are exactly a tenth of a mile apart. And so you can go and hit, you know, 5-10 caches all in one parking area. So you can get a bunch of caches going on. It's good for the car because you can park one place and go ahead and get a bunch of caches like that. So, Montu, what else do you do to save gas?
Well, I try to combine trips a lot of times. Like if I'm needing to go out to the grocery store, and sometimes I won't go to the grocery store that I normally go to, because I've got all the caches near that one cleared out, but I'll go to another one of the same store that's in the opposite direction. Maybe it's a few miles out of my way, but I'll try and combine the trips, find the cache, get my grocery shopping done, and it's all going the one way and then back to the house again. So by that, it cuts down on some of the gas usage there as well.
One of the things that I do one of the things I came up with is a couple different things that you can do, and that's using alternative methods of getting actually to the cache site. So what you could do is one of the things you could do is if you have a bike, you can bike to the cache site, and that's usually great because you can do that on the public streets. You can do that anywhere that you're at, where, you know, you can also walk to the cache site, and sometimes that's hard, but, you know, like we were talking last week on the show, you can also use geocaching as a way to weight loss. And so with walking, that'd be a great way to do weight loss. One of the other things too you could do is carpool. And usually what that means is you could, you know what carpooling is as far as going, you know, to work and stuff, but you could carpool, you know, say, "Hey, I've got three friends. Do you guys want to go out, chip in for gas, and we'll go out and cash?" That's probably the best way to do it because you get to hang out with some friends too. Montu, what other things can we do?
Well, definitely, I've done that carpooling bit a few times. We've gone out with Puzzle Lady 44 and just loaded up the van with as many people as want to go, which definitely cuts down on the pricing. One of the biggest things is, of course, plan your trip. That way you're not wasting your gas. Hit a cluster of caches that are close together. Know where you're going. That way you're not, I know I'm heading for this park. How do I get there? Look at the map ahead of time. We've got great software that's available right off of GroundSpeak where we can see down to a street map level. Take a look around before you go out there. That way you're not wandering all over the neighborhood trying to figure out the best way of getting to that park. Is some of the things I find extremely helpful with cutting down on the gas burn. Also try and, if you're really wanting to find a lot of caches, look around first. Find a spot, and I think you mentioned this earlier, find a park or something that's got a lot of caches that you haven't found, and then go and attack that one park. A lot of times the park might be big, but usually you can park the car and cruise around the park either by bringing a bike or just hiking and find a lot of caches that way.
Okay, one of the things, too, that as soon as we were talking about bikes, Micah reminded me of something. Micah, go ahead and tell me what you need to do with when we wear a bike. Yeah, we have to wear a helmet. That was my 2-year-old son, Micah Boy, and he says we have to wear a helmet. Thanks, Micah Bub. Another thing, too, that you can do is pack your own snacks or lunch. This is something that Jules, when I told her about what we were doing, she's the one that gave us that. And also our listener, Mark Young, said what they do is they pack a lunch and drinks in order to save money and on lunch. And this is the way they usually picnic, too. And they usually have more family time together that way. And this is the reason they actually started geocaching in the first place, was because of more family time. Another thing, too, that you can do is get Nalgene bottles. And instead of worrying about buying expensive bottled water, because that way, you don't have to worry so much about paying for all sorts of, the bottled water. You can just use the water that you get out of your sink. With that, Geek Boy is actually on the phone line. He has something to tell us. So, Geek Boy, what do you have to put in here?
Okay, reminding people from, I believe it was last week or the week before, where Daryl had mentioned that if you're getting the Nalgene bottles, to make sure that you're getting the ones that are safe. If you recall, the number on the bottom of the bottle from recycled ones are the PVCs, and I believe it was sevens are the other chemical, I don't remember which one that was, that are not safe. So you should go with, I believe it was twos, fours, and fives, or is it twos, threes, and fours? Go with the even numbers. I know those two were safe.
Yeah, those. That's important. And if you don't remember which ones they are, go and listen to the show. I think you're right. I think it was two weeks ago from when Daryl talked about those numbers. We'll link to the Nalgene's website, and they have all the information, too, because they've stepped up and made sure that their bottles are safe and stuff like that. So another thing, too, that you can do is make caching a line item in your budget, too. Even if it's only, like, $5, that can add up, and you can actually do more caching with it like that. So make caching a line item in your budget. Monty, what else?
Well, that pretty much covers it as far as what we've gone over tonight. As far as the picnicking is concerned, though, that is definitely something that you can plan for, because that's something when my wife and I and family laid our first set of caches, we actually did exactly that. In fact, if you go to GCTH6D, at the bottom of the listing, just before the logs, there's a photo there that actually shows our setup for that day. You'll see a small wagon with several ammo cans on it and a large blue ice chest. We hiked out about 4 miles out on the bicycle trail, setting up the caches as we went out, and that ice chest had our lunch. When we got all the way as far out as we were going to go, we stopped at one of the picnic benches, had lunch, and then started working our way back. But definitely try and plan it out as best you can. That's the main key, is just plan it out. Don't just go on a spur. I know the FTFs, it's hard to resist that. Everybody wants those doggone things. But, if you're not going on an FTF hunt, you're just going for caches at a park that you haven't hit before, plan the day out. Take the lunch, take the snacks, the water, and go and cache that plan.
Yeah, and another thing, too, that we came up with is a couple different things. For far-off events that you want to attend, like say you want to go to Geo Woodstock or Geo Bash, but maybe you can't afford it. One of the things you could do is save up the money, some of the money that you do have, and put that towards your own event. Make an event that maybe you can't go to Geo Bash or Geo Woodstock, but create an event that's still going to be pretty good that you can do in your local area. You get a chance to meet your new cacher or cachers in your area, and you'll get to spend some time with the cachers. It probably won't be nearly as big as Geo Bash or Geo Woodstock, but you never know. It could, and it could become a mega. So I would suggest doing that. Another thing, too, is use rechargeable batteries where possible, because then you don't need to spend the money on buying, 100 AA batteries for your GPS. You can just use the rechargeables and go with it like that. I see we have Geek Boy, or not Geek Boy, we have Geek Boy on the phone line, but also we have PK Dad on the phone line. And PK Dad, welcome back. It's been a while since we've seen you. Do you have anything that we can talk about as far as cashing on a budget?
Well, I hopped in here a couple minutes late, but I don't know if you mentioned maybe like I ride a motorcycle, so save a little bit of gas going out on the bike too.
That's a good idea. If you don't need to take a huge car, if you're just going out by yourself, go ahead and take a vehicle that's going to spend less money in gas. That's a good idea. One of the things for our Jules Says segment is, Jules says, budgets are your friend. And that applies to not just caching, but in general, budgets are your friend. So with that, that's the end of the show that we had tonight. Join us next week as we do a review of Geo Woodstock 6. We do this thing every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525, or sign in to TalkShoe.com. Our show notes and links to all the past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. You can also call our voicemail at 206-350-3GPS. Leave us a message anytime you want. Again, I want to apologize tonight for the extra background noise in my mic. We've got Micah Boy, who's apparently right now pretending he's got a chainsaw. So thank you. Yeah, he's done. So thanks. It's always fun to have kids on the phone. But thanks again for putting up with the extra noise. Sorry about that. Next week, I promise it will be quiet. Thanks again, guys. Have a good night and go get your caches.